Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Good Saturday afternoon to you. Thank you to Dan Ball for that amazing baton handoff. That's Mike Vrabel, John, who, let's just, I got to give the NFL a lot of credit. They recognize these underlying storylines sometimes before we recognize it. Of course, last week, the obvious one, going to Tennessee and getting a bit of payback. And then this week, Cleveland comes to town, the place that gave him a little bit of kind of reprise. After he got fired from Tennessee, he was helping out with the Browns, so he kind of knows what their fabric is with Stefanski. I think this is going to be a little more of a fascinating matchup because of the defense of Cleveland than what it looks like on paper.
And KJ, I'd also add Ashton Grant, Patriots QB's coach, worked for Cleveland last year, and he's been a huge part in the continued development of Drake May, obviously along with May himself and McDaniels. And yeah, I would agree, and I heard Fitzy talking about this on the afternoon show this week, and I agree with him too. This is going to be, I think, a much more difficult game than a lot of people realize, because this Cleveland defense, man, I mean, we're talking first in yards per game, third in passing yards per game, first in rushing yards per carry a lot. I mean, you name it. They're really good. The only area they're not that good is they're not that good in the red zone. But every other area, this Cleveland defense, I mean, they have 18 sacks on the year as well. And, of course, Myles Garrett's the headliner. But there's a lot of really good players on that Cleveland defense. I think this is going to be not just a real test, but this is going to be the toughest team they've played since they beat Buffalo on a Sunday night a few weeks ago.
So let's call it what it is, what's going on right now with the Patriots offensive line. There's a problem at left guard. Right.
And yeah, so Wilson hasn't played. Right,
there's a problem at left guard. And so if Myles Garrett is going to constantly put himself on the right side of the defense, attacking the left side of the offense, I would hate to think that we would start to see some of the Patriots regressing on that offensive line when they haven't really been much of the conversation. But it did start to peek its ugly head with Wilson last week, more so became a little more glaring last week. And my concern is, the Patriots haven't been in situations where they've given up the ball in favorable territory. If you give someone like Dillon Gabriel like a short field to work with, and Keyshawn Judkins, who can catch and run out of the backfield, he's been phenomenal this year. He's going to be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. But it could be a tougher game for the Patriots if there are just a couple of critical mistakes, and that is a concern I have, because that's what Myles Garrett does. Myles Garrett's been on all these bad Cleveland teams and is still going to go to the Hall of Fame. Like, he's probably been to the playoffs once or twice.
Yeah, so, I'm trying to think, like 2018-ish, right? Mayfield's rookie year he made, maybe. And I think, did they make it in 2020? I feel like they might have. But yeah, right. It's been like, it's like Joe Thomas all over again. Remember, he was the best left tackle in the NFL for like 10 years. And they were still terrible every year.
And still horrible. Those are the teams that kind of scare me, because this is the same. Didn't Cleveland beat? Was it Philadelphia?
Green Bay, right?
Green Bay. It was Green Bay, right? And if you get him in one of these ugly games with a younger quarterback, this is where I would be a bit concerned. 617-779-7937. KJ and Lyons, WEEI. We've got a plethora to talk about today. The NBA scandal, the Celtics, the Bruins. What? There's so much going on. We're here till 6. But right now, talking about Patriots for tomorrow, what is the concern that you have along with the defense? Is there another concern that you have?
So when you look at this Cleveland team, like last week they blow out Miami, and I think a large part of that is Miami is a mess. Right? They might be up there with Tennessee for the worst team
they're
in the NFL.
They're psychologically gone.
Exactly. But you just look at how that game played out. Cleveland had a pick six in that game. They had another interception where the guy was tackled down at the two, so Quinshon Judkins had a two-yard touchdown run right after. Mm-hmm. So that's 2 yards of offense, and they had 14 points, right? And then they had another interception right around midfield later in that game. Like, they can force turnovers. They can get after the quarterback. And like I mentioned, right, everyone talks about Myles Garrett, and he's one of the best players in the NFL, but like, Malik Collins, as a defensive tackle, has 4 sacks. Like you mentioned, the left guard issue they have. That's a guy who does a great job pushing the pocket. Like Devin Bush is a really good linebacker. Is Carson Schweschwinger, who I probably just said that wrong, the rookie out of UCLA. And, of course, their defensive backfield, right? Grant Delpit, Ronnie Hickman. We know those guys, and we know how, I think, on paper good they are. But when you watch Cleveland play, it's like, man, these guys are really really good. And Josh McDaniels talked this week about how good Jim Schwartz is as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, like, back in his days when he was running the offense, the defense for the Lions, when he was running the Lions as the head coach, they still put up pretty decent defensive people up there. Yeah. I think those are the Robert Porcher days and so forth. So
they'd lose a lot of games, but they were close games.
Like, right.
You know?
So your concern sounds like what's about to come out of my mouth. You're concerned about mistakes being made by a second-year quarterback when everything seems to be riding high around this team. Does that sound right?
Well, you think about it, right? The Patriots have won 5 games this year.
Yeah.
All 5 wins, Drake May has 0 turnovers. That's not a coincidence. That's a huge part of this. And I think that's been my favorite thing about him this year is that it's the running, throwing on the run is great. The deep passes are fun. Don't get me wrong. I've enjoyed those. But him not turning the ball over has been my favorite thing about his development. And now he's facing a defense that can actually force those turnovers. And we saw in the 2 games the Patriots have lost, you can make a case the biggest play in that Raiders game was his interception early in the 3rd quarter. They go down and score there, maybe they win. They had a lead anyway. And then, of course, the Pittsburgh game, the Patriots had 5 turnovers. May had a couple. That was the biggest reason they lost that game. And I think the only way Cleveland has a chance to beat the Patriots is if they force a couple turnovers and they hold the Patriots' offense to 17 or fewer points, which, again, May has been playing phenomenal. He's in the MVP conversation. The offense has been playing really well. But this is, again, this is maybe the best defense they've played all year so far.
Yeah, in terms of points allowed, the Browns and the Lions have allowed the same amount of points. So you would say, if you say you're going against the Lions, you're like, oh my gosh, what a juggernaut. But if you're saying going against the Browns, you don't think that because you're thinking about all the issues they have on the offensive side right. of the ball. This is a team, like, if in perspective, the Raiders have given up 180 points this year so far, and the Bills on the other side of it, it's like about 135. So somewhere in the middle where it's like, hey, it's clearly a better defense than what you saw against the Raiders, and it's going to be not as good of a defense that you saw against the Bills, but what can you do? Look, it's a 7-point favorite dog. I think there's probably more in the story of what the Patriots defense can do to Dylan Gabriel, even if it's just constantly getting their hands up. You know, we've been talking about, like, hey, they really need a pass rush. Yeah. Well, with a guy who's 5'11 and it's left-handed, you probably just keep getting your hands up, and that's going to cause issues. So it'd be fascinating to see how the Patriots defense may end up being the story of the game more so than what Cleveland can do to the Patriots. 617-779-7937. That is also the text line, KJ and Lions, also still to come. We got to do Jag. I mean, there's some names on the list that we might have to retire from being a Jag. John, are you surprised? You'll be shocked.
It's a week of movement. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, so tomorrow, I really just feel like the game comes down to, can Vrabel's defense get Dylan Gabriel to be overwhelmed out there on the field? He's been underwhelming this year. Can you take it to that next level where you're like, all right, if we can shut down the run game right away and put the game in his arms, right? Because these are the conversations you were hearing about Drake May a year ago. Like, hey, let's shut down the run and put it in his arms and see if he can beat us. I don't think Dylan Gabriel has the ability to beat a team just yet.
And what I want to see, too, is can this defense start well? They've played 7 games, and they've allowed points on the opening drive in 5 of them. And they've had several games where they've allowed points on the first 2 drives. And I know against New Orleans, they gave up 19 points, which in today's NFL is really good. Against Tennessee, they only gave up 13 points, and Kalyvon Chaisson took advantage of that terrible bobble by Cam Ward and did score a defensive touchdown. So on the whole, they haven't been playing bad, but what worries me is, and this is more thinking ahead to like the Atlanta game, the Tampa Bay game, but even for tomorrow, let's say the Browns go out there and they score points on their first 2 drives, and then the Patriots lock them down. But if you're down 14-0 or 14-3 to this Cleveland defense, it's much harder to come back than the Saints defense, which looked clueless in the first half of that game, and the Titans defense, which not only is not very good, but then lost Jeffrey Simmons during that game.
Yeah, because they lost him first quarter, right?
Exactly, right? So that's the one thing. I'd like to see this defense start fast, and I think, look, the Browns have arguably the worst offensive line in the NFL. Like, if you're into PFF, they're the 32nd ranked one. If you just watch them play, they look pretty bad. I mean, they give up a lot of pressure, and the quarterback doesn't help either. But this should be a spot where Christian Barmore and Milton Williams dominate a game. Like, this should be one of those. And we've seen Milton Williams play really well this year. He had that huge play at the end of the game against Miami. He was good against Tennessee. We've seen Barmore play well. But this should be a game where I think the combination of those two guys should be able to dominate inside, which hopefully will lead to them starting off a little bit better than they have.
Yeah, I think Cleveland, if they come out, they're going to be running sweeps and running to the edges, because that's some of the areas where you've seen the Patriots have issues is securing the edge, right? So you're exactly right. If you try and go up the middle, I think it's going to be a pointless move for Cleveland to try and bang it through the middle with Barmore there and Williams there. I think they'll hold their own. But when it comes to getting to the edge, that's a little bit of a concern there, where it's like, if Judkins can get free and start getting loose, what kind of problem does that pose for the Patriots? Does it become a situation, like you mentioned, where you find yourself behind the eight ball, having to come back from the slow starts like you've seen over the last couple of weeks? If you see that again, and again, then now you feel like, all right, will you be able to have the type of time that you've been able to have to get those deep balls down the field when you know that you're constantly worrying about where Myles Garrett is? Like, so I think probably the biggest thing for the Patriots is, whatever you do, try and stay away from 3rd and even 5, right? Even where there's an option to pass, just so that way you don't find yourself in a situation where a potential sack and fumble or sack that takes you out of field goal range. Something that says, hey, if you need to run it on 3rd and 5 just to be safe and kick the field goal, I would be happy with that versus seeing this Cleveland team, which seems that the only way it gets its advantages is by turnovers.
Yeah, and speaking of turnover, like I mentioned, the 3 interceptions they had last week, they also forced a fumble on a kickoff, right? So, like, they had 4 turnovers that were hugely impactful in that game against Miami last week, and I think it played the biggest, and again, Miami is a shell of themselves, I know, but those turnovers played the biggest role in them winning. Like, Judkins, again, he had the 3 rushing touchdowns, but one of them was a 2-yard run after an interception set them up at the 2. And I'm not trying to take his touchdown away from what I'm saying is, Miami put Cleveland in advantageous positions. I think if you're the Patriots, your first order of business tomorrow is to not do that when you're on offense. Like, I know the obvious, like, oh, duh, you got to score points. But like, can you not put Cleveland in easy positions like that? If you're watching
even a field goal, right? Even to start a game off, you're like, that shouldn't happen. Let's see, get a 3-and-out somewhere or a small series that ends and turn that field around quickly. Because this is what I even kind of thought about last week's game with Cam Ward. I was like, I would have probably taken the ball first, because the way this offense is going, like, you could go down the field, score, and then put the pressure on the young quarterback to know that they have to do more than just hand the ball off, right? If you can get Dillon Gabriel in that situation, that's why I was like, if the Patriots have an opportunity to take the ball first tomorrow, maybe you take the ball first, knowing that this offense has a lot of trouble moving down the field and coming from behind. I think they've only scored I don't think they've scored 100 points this year. So, I mean, you're talking about, Cleveland scored just over 100 points this year.
I think you were reading my mind.
The Patriots have scored 180.
I was going to say the exact same thing, because I'm a huge proponent.
That's why it's KJ Lyons.
Exactly, right? 10-pound show, 5-pound bag, right? We know. But I am generally, like, 99.9% of the time, if you win the coin toss, I say defer, kick off, get the ball in the second half. This is one of those extremely rare instances where I would say, maybe start with the ball. Go down there, see what this defense is going to do against you, see what their plan is, see if you can get a lead, and then force Cleveland to chase you. So, yeah, it's unusual for me. I'm a very big proponent of defer if you win the coin toss, kick off, and get the ball in the second half. But I think this is, again, one of those rare matchups where you have an inexperienced quarterback, a terrible offensive line, uncertainty all over that Cleveland offense. Yeah. If you can get ahead of them and they're on the road, and that's another thing, too. This Cleveland team, totally different on the road than they've been at home. I think they've lost, what, three games on the road, all by double digits?
Yeah, whereas, so in other words, they don't bring their toothbrush when they leave, you know?
whereas at home, right, they've beaten Green Bay and they've blown out Miami, which, you know, you can chalk that up for whatever you want. But 0-3 on the road, and all three of those losses by Cleveland have been by multiple possessions.
All right, KJ and Lyons, still talking Patriots. Get your calls in, 617-779-7937. Andrew will get to you shortly. But right now it's time to trend with Jason Ward.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. We're about 20 minutes away from Halloween candy. Before we get to that, and before we get to the calls, John, do you recognize the bumper music, John?
Oh, yeah.
Are you shocked?
I appreciate you know what? I appreciate it, KJ. Thank you.
As much as you might think my music sucks, though you would never say that.
Pause.
I found some Polo G that I could play for you.
I appreciate it, KJ. See, it's because you missed me last week because I wasn't here.
No, that's not why I played. It's because it was like John likes Polo G. And that's, you think I really take the friendship for real when we leave?
No, of course not. Come on. Jeez.
Andrew, we're talking Patriots. Thank you so much for calling KJ Lyons. Good Saturday to you.
How's it going? Love listening to you guys. How's your
Thank
day?
You. Good. What's on your mind, man? Patriots, that's what we're talking about?
That's what we're talking about, yep. What's on my mind is you guys got it right. I think tomorrow is going to be a defensive battle for us to win. They got to show up. It's going to be a dogfight. I don't think the spotlight is being put on Milton Williams and Christian Barmore enough. Those guys are literally why the defense does what it does. They're taking double teams, sometimes both at the same time. We have ends one-on-one getting to the quarterback, making those throws fast. Linebackers are free everywhere in the run game. I mean, those guys, they need their spotlight.
Andrew, thank you so much for the call. Yeah, anytime. Yeah,
KJ, can I just give a quick segue, like an unrelated thing that I think deserves mention?
Okay.
So right here in the studio, we have UNC Virginia on the TV. So UNC has fumbled out of the end zone for a touchback, and just now they had a pass hit off a receiver's face inside the 5-yard line, and it got intercepted.
So
10-10 game, by the way. They are hanging there with a ranked team in Virginia, but holy
smokes. here's where, in fairness, where it's like I had no intention of saying Bill Belichick's name at all.
No,
like,
and I didn't say his name. I just said UNC.
Okay, but UNC, right? Like, there's a part of me that says, like, I am really sick of anything involving North Carolina football this year.
Their game next Friday night.
Well, that's why, right? Because you're like, I've spent money on this.
Dude, so I got total unrelated. I'm going to Syracuse UNC next Friday. When I got the tickets in the summer, I didn't think it'd be two of the worst teams in the ACC. That'd be a pretty good matchup.
Okay, can we get back to the Patriots?
Yeah, back to the Patriots. thanks for the call.
The team is only in first in the AFC East. It's second in the AFC in terms of total standings. And I can't give any more air. I've said what I've needed to say about Belichick.
Back to the lecture at hand.
That is actually, what song is that?
That's
in?
A Snoop Dogg song.
That's where that comes from. There you go. All right. So, yeah, you know, I think about last year. You remember when Keon White was kind of having some issues, and there were kind of like these smoke signals he was sending out?
Yeah.
And remember you and I were discussing on the air, it was like, you know, I don't think Keon White was drafted to be kind of a hand in the sand kind of guy in the middle of the defensive line. They just need him there because Barmore was out because of the medical situation. Barmore's back. But now we really haven't seen Keon White. And you're wondering, like, okay, so now that the middle is solved, how do we get back to solving a pass rush? Because that, if there's one glaring thing, and I never thought I would say this over the course of three, well, I would, but there were other glaring things. The offensive line doesn't jump out at me. The receivers are doing what they're doing. Like, they now have to be paid attention to by defenses. It's really there's no pass rush. And when does the pass rush show up? Does it get addressed in trade? Do you wait a couple of games? I mean, I think that's the one thing that's probably missing from this team is a form of a pass rush to at least alleviate some of that pressure on the defensive backfield when you got all this time back there to pick and choose where you want to go with the ball.
Well, it's been interesting, too. And, like, I think what's Harold Landry have, like, 5.5 sacks? Like, so he's put up numbers, and Milton Williams has had a couple big sacks. But it's interesting in that Keon White was the second-round pick, 6'5", 285, big, powerful guy. Anthony Jennings has been a really good player for them for multiple years. And in this defense, both of those guys have been put on the back burner, and it's been such an emphasis on speed. And you remember when Terrell Williams was hired, he talked about violent defensive linemen and getting downhill and all that, and I think Milton Williams has been a perfect fit for that.
Barmore, he's paid to do that, yes.
Exactly, and Barmore has been good at that, but I think that's where Chaisson, who I think has played really well, and Landry, I mean, that's what they're really good at, right? They're fast guys. They can get downhill, especially Chaisson, and it just seems like Keon White and Jennings – they're not, like, I'm not telling you they're unathletic, but they're not speed guys like Landry and Chaisson, and they haven't been able to fit quite as well in this defense. And I wonder if, can Vrabel find a way to get them some sort of role? Like, even if Landry and Chaisson are your top two edge guys, and they're your starters, and they're going to play most of the snaps, I still feel like Keon White, and Jennings, they're too good to not have a role. You know what I mean? Like, they're too good to just be backups on the back burner, not playing type guy. They're too good for that. And I'm wondering if that's something kind of going forward, can they work those guys into some sort of role in this defense?
617-779-7937. Thank you so much for hanging out with KJ and Lyons. Missed any of the show? No worries. It's only 28 minutes in, but you can rewind it on the Odyssey app. It's free. And then, of course, you can also listen in real time with no rewind function on the iHeart app. So, again, the Patriots are 7-point favorite tomorrow. I'd really like to see Dillon Gabriel frustrated because the number two quarterback for the Browns is who?
It might be Bailey Zappe tomorrow with Sanders being questionable. So I don't know. It's going to be one of those because they just upgraded Zappe from the practice squad. Was it today? Right? Like, so.
Let's just call it what it is. Is Zappe really an upgradable from the practice squad type player at this point?
Yeah, probably not. Unless Matt Patricia is his offensive coordinator. He seemed to play good those few weeks.
But now when you look back, you're almost kind of like, gosh, even little league losing teams get snacks. It now feels like that's what happened with Zappe here. But, you know, if Gabriel struggles, I saw pieces of his game last week. It was this guy's just not really ready for prime time. I mean, this is where I would really like to see the defense of the Patriots feed, right? Because there are some people who are like, okay, yeah, the Patriots look good right now. And then when you look at the schedule, I'll get into that. It's kind of fascinating how things even lay out, even the good teams that they're supposed to face. It's amazing. But it's like, okay, what have I seen the dominant game from them defensively? Have we necessarily seen the game defensively outside of the Panthers are one thing, right? But I think, like, can you shut down and do what? Remember when Sam Darnold said, man, I see ghosts out there?
Yep.
Do you see this Patriots defense frustrating a quarterback like that again?
I don't know if this defense can do it to that level. I mean, there's a lot of guys there that I do like, but I feel like that's where kind of the depth comes in. Like, I talked about Williams and Barmore and Landry and Chaisson. If you have like five or six guys that can constantly get after the quarterback, then I think you can make them see ghosts like that 2019 Patriots defense had. I don't know. Again, and that's where it comes down to Keon White, Jennings. Like, if they can figure out a way to get those guys involved, then maybe they can get a quarterback to a point like that. And obviously, the Browns having a terrible offensive line will help. But it's an interesting point, KJ, because I think they did dominate that Carolina game. They still gave up an opening drive touchdown, by the way. But they dominated that game. I thought they played really well against Buffalo. But we saw even the Saints game. Like, it's only 19 points, but there were some openings there that the Saints just didn't take advantage enough of. And then the Titans game, they dominated most of the game. But I'd like to see them have another kind of fully dominant game where it's not just you play great in the second half. Can you start well? Can you play great defense for 55 minutes even? Obviously, 60 is the goal. But like right now, they're playing good defense for like 45 minutes a game. Can you play it for 50, 55, 60? And this Browns offense with Dylan Gabriel and that old, it should give them the opportunity to do that.
I mean, think about, just look at what the Patriots have been facing over the last 5 weeks. You get Bryce Young, then you had Josh Allen, then you had Spencer Rattler, Cam Ward last week, Dylan Gabriel this week, and either Michael Penix Jr. or Kirk Cousins next week. So you're facing these lower tier or young, outside of Josh Allen, right? You're facing nothing but a bunch of young guys who have not proven themselves or are starting to prove themselves not worthy, right? Like Spencer Rattler, I think the thing is kind of out on him. Bryce Young, now he's down with an injury, and it really has been him. It's been the run game. Cam Ward helped out last week, but it feels like this is the week that if you can really make the statement of just shutting down Dylan Gabriel and just making him feel like the NFL is too big for me, then I think the combination of what Drake May has been able to do, the revamped offense with Stephon Diggs and so forth, and then if you add the defense, then you now get into the narrative is like, see, now Vrabel's stamp is really on there. I think that's what I'm really getting at is like, where is that stamped Vrabel defensive game going to come? I think it should come tomorrow.
I would agree. And I think then you look at it moving forward, and not to get like too far ahead of ourselves here, but you look at Atlanta and Tampa Bay, whether it's Penix, whether it's Cousins, those are really good offenses for Atlanta and Tampa Bay. So can you use this as a springboard? Because what you don't want, KJ, and I'm not trying to like directly compare this, but you don't want a repeat of 2021. Remember, they had that winning streak in the middle of the year. They got all the way to 9-4, but they were mostly playing bad teams or injured quarterbacks in that stretch, and they took advantage.
Yeah, when the defense ended up being ranked one in the league at one point because they were playing so many bad teams.
Right, and they took advantage of it. And even that Buffalo game, like Josh Allen was limited because it was the 50-mile-an-hour winds. And when they beat Tennessee, it was a good win, but there was no Derrick Henry that day. And then when they started playing good teams fully healthy, like they lost to Buffalo by multiple touchdowns twice, then they lost down in Miami when Miami was starting to get better. So can you use a stretch like this where, you know, you beat the Saints, you blow out the Titans, can you beat the Browns, and then use that as a springboard so when you play a pretty good team in the Falcons and a good team in the Bucks, that you can hang with those teams, maybe beat those teams. And I would even put it out further, like by the time you play the Bengals, they might be pretty good after the way they looked with Joe Flacco the other night. Like, who knows when you play the Ravens if Lamar Jackson's back? Can you hang with those teams? And tomorrow, defensively especially, to your point, can kind of be a nice springboard into doing that if they can go out there and really make Dylan Gabriel uncomfortable.
Well, what you're talking about, not to get ahead with those two games you mentioned with the Falcons and the Bucks, but that does play into the narrative I'm saying about why you need to dominate tomorrow.
Yeah.
There are only really three games left for the Patriots this season against any teams that have a playoff chance. The Bucks 81% chance to get in the playoffs, the Bengals at 57%. So that goes to you saying, hey, if this thing that's happening with Joe Flacco continues, there's a projective that has the Bengals having more than a 50-50 chance to make the playoffs. And then of course the Bills with the 61% chance. And then the Falcons are the only other team that have as much as of a 40% chance to get into the playoffs. And I look, the Falcons have scored less points than the Browns have this year. So the Michael Penix bruised knee situation may really be cover for they have an anemic situation with their offense, and hence this is why probably you'll see Kirk Cousins for sure tomorrow and then probably into next week as well, because if the Bucs start pulling away in that conference, in that division, you've got these other divisions that are the NFC West has popped up suddenly. You're like got three teams that are all viable. Where now it's like, hey, NFC North South may just be a one and done. So Atlanta, I think, is almost kind of at the desperation point potentially to see how things go with Kirk Cousins. Now you may laugh at Kirk Cousins that have things, but this guy can put the ball in the air and he can make plays and he's not a rookie. But really, it comes down to the Bucks, Bengals, and Bills. These are the only teams that have a more than 50% chance to make the playoffs at the point that are on the remainder of the Patriots' schedule. That's why I say tomorrow has to be a dominating game, so that way the team really is taken seriously as it gets into the bulk of its season and for the rematch for the Bills that's coming up.
And I think, too, like I mentioned earlier, that if you get down, like let's say the Browns go down and score on their first two possessions and you get down 14-3 or 10-0, it'll be kind of an uphill battle against that defense to come back. But I think like realistically, you can still come back and beat the Browns. But if you get down 14-3 against Atlanta and Bijan Robinson gets going in those first couple drives and he's playing well, or that happens down in Tampa and Baker Mayfield and Mecca Ibuka are rolling, then you might not be able to come back. So you want to take that first step tomorrow. Like they had a really good overall outing against the Titans defensively. Can you build on that and have a better, more sustained outing against a bad Browns offense tomorrow and then use that kind of as the springboard when you start playing these really good offenses and in Tampa's case, when you play them on the road as well. And also, too, I think we haven't talked about this enough, KJ. They have not won enough games at home over the past few years. Like even this year, Pittsburgh was a home loss. The Raiders was a home loss. Can you start winning games at home at Gillette Stadium again and make it a difficult place to play?
In fairness, do you feel like this team is as bad as the previous teams you've seen?
I don't, but they still technically have a losing record at home. So I would agree with you, but they've still lost two out of the three games at home.
Yeah, the Raiders game, I think that was kind of like a look-see, right? I think that's one of those like, hey, if I've got to go up against Pete Carroll at the very first game of the year, I may lose a little bit of advantage. Pittsburgh is at the top of their division. You know, so again, I thought the Pittsburgh game would be a push. I thought they would beat the Raiders, but I think the conversation really is post-Buffalo, right? Because the thought was, hey, if they could go to Buffalo and could compete, that would be much better than what we've seen with any of these Buffalo games. They've been like these celebrations, whether home or away. But not only did they compete, they win the game on the road and not having to do any type of trickery. It wasn't like Josh Allen and these guys just completely fell over themselves and made eons of mistakes. No, the Patriots went out and beat the Bills. And that, so for me, that's kind of like the BCAD line for the narrative of the Patriots, right? Is winning that first Buffalo game. And now what is the conversation after that? And I think another part of that is, does Ramondre Stevenson get really control over his fumbling situation and can turn those things around? Last week we saw him, it was like 78 yards in the first half.
It's the best he looks since that Miami game in week two, yeah.
Right. So if that's the catalyst for the turnaround, I'm willing to forget all the other stuff because it's a different quarterback, it's a different head coach. In fact, that head coach is now two coaches removed. So you know, as much as it is recent history, it's kind of ancient history now, I feel, in terms of how it applies to this team and anything that goes on with this team.
Yeah, and I think when you look at post-Buffalo, so they win the two, like what they did following the Buffalo game is exactly what good teams do. They didn't have a letdown against the Saints, right. And then they outclassed a team that's a bad team in the Titans. That's exactly what you want. So now, kind of what are the next steps? Can you start winning home games? Can you outclass another team that, albeit the Browns have a great defense, but their offense is not good? Can you outclass a team? Can you beat a team that's bad overall but has a great defense? Then can you play a team that's pretty good in Atlanta, win a home game there, and kind of use that as your springboard into the second half of the season? Because, I mean, we're already almost at the halfway point in the season. I mean, tomorrow's what, their eighth game?
That's right.
And so it would,
two weeks. Well, technically next week would be kind of the halfway point because then the bye comes up. So
right. So, and we talk about them, hey, before the season, can they go 9-8? Can they go 10-7? What's the ceiling here? It's like, all right, if you're going to go 9-8, if you're going to even go 10-7, like the Browns game is a game that not only should you win, but you should look like the superior team, especially when your defense is on the field for the entire time.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your text messages, your calls, and we'll play Halloween candy. The Boston sports figures, and what Halloween candy are they? That's next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, 617-779-7937. We'll take you up to 6, then at 7 p.m., BC football. Minus 26.5 today, John.
Down in Louisville, right? And then guess who's coming to town next Saturday?
Notre Dame.
Yeah,
they're not winning a seat. Do you think I'm crazy now when I said, don't be surprised after that Notre Dame game, kids going to be like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and sign out, coach. Get my body rested. Go home for Thanksgiving, Christmas. Be ready for that January 1st, 2nd portal dates.
It's crazy, to be honest. I mean, like last year, what did BC win last year? Did they go 8-4? I mean, I know I should know this, but point is, like,
They were ranked at one point last
year. Yeah, they were. I think, what were they, 25? And they, like,
24th, yeah.
They had a close loss at Mizzou, a close loss at SMU. Like, there was signs there, like, all right, maybe they're on to something. And, like, they lose Donovan Ezeraku in the draft, and they lose Kai Robichaux, and it's like, and they lost Ozzie Trapillo, and now it's like they just can't play. And I just Conley as well, the other offensive line.
Maybe you just don't listen to KJ saying who's going to win the ACC last year. Remember, Boston College's going to win the ACC. Bill Belichick's going to win the ACC this year. Oh. Shut up, KJ. Damn, you're killing your credibility.
Yeah, okay, you lose Ezeraki, you lose some of these other guys. Like, maybe you won't be as good, but, like, dude, they're 1-6 staring in the face of 1-7 after tonight and 1-8 after next week.
Bro, their only win may be Fordham. It's a real possibility.
UConn, did you watch that UConn game last week?
I watched the UConn game last week.
That was like UConn was markedly better than them.
You know, I wonder if Bill looked at those jerseys. He's like, that reminds me of those Penn State colors. Oh, they have a job.
You know who Penn State should hire? Speaking of New England ties, is Bob Chesney, head coach at JMU right now? That's who I heard. They've been talking about.
So you don't understand how big money works, right? Like, nothing against them. But those guys go get the job at Indiana before they get the job at Penn State, right? Like, there are levels to that, right?
I'm just telling you. He went from Holy Cross to JMU, who's now 6-1.
That makes total sense, right? But you don't go from JMU to PSU.
He's going to have JMU ranked. Not to go fully down this rabbit hole, but, like, that might be – Penn State's in a weird situation.
My buddy's kid is a quarterback there. He was last year. What was the quarterback's last name?
I couldn't tell you.
Went to college with him, yeah. So, yeah, JMU.
They beat UNC last year, actually.
Well,
and they got to, they were up there. No, but last year, I mean, UNC was better.
No, they weren't. They were not that good last year.
No, they weren't. They're better than this year.
Yo, so look, I feel for Bill O'Brien, but Boston College game, Louisville here, -26.5. You know what's been interesting in listening to the play-by-play for BC college football? It's really feeling like it's like watching Major League with Bob Uecker.
I feel bad because you can almost hear, like, when they're calling the games, like, Meta Parel and Mutrin, like, you can, like, it's like they're in pain. You know, like,
authenticity at its fullest. It's not like first down. It's just like, oh, God, another first down.
Yeah, I think at one point, I don't remember if it was last week's game or like the week before.
Mita Perot was just like,
yeah, they're in a bad spot right now. I'm like, oh, man, I feel bad for this guy. Like, you can tell they love it, and credit to them. And it is authentic. Like, I was just saying, I feel bad for those guys on those broadcasts the last few weeks.
You think the school feels bad, dude? I'm sure enrollment has not suffered a bit.
No, it certainly has not.
We're up for another Nobel Peace Prize? That's fine. Football, yeah, what's that? All right, got a couple texts to get to here. 617-779-7937. Jason, what you got?
All right, we got a text here from a 617 number. I would love to see Drake May go for 300 tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't bet on it.
Well, you know what? Maybe because, hear this out. We've seen his ability to get the ball deep, 40, 50 yards in the air. But also you have to say the way that Ramondre Stevenson ran the ball last week, if I'm Cleveland, I'm probably kind of stuffing the box just a little bit, saying, okay, we've got decent corners that will be able to handle the outsides. If we can get to that line with Myles Garrett and get him to at least get rid of the ball quick, why would I not do that? Now, I think there'll be some opportunities. I think he might throw for just under 300, not because he's got to throw the ball a whole lot of times. I think there's going to be a play-action play that the defense totally sells out, and Drake may – it's probably a 60 – I think there's going to be probably a 60-yard touchdown tomorrow. Just because they're going to – they have to focus on the run. They have to.
It's interesting because you talk about, are they going to load the box, or are they going to do – because to counter a great pass rusher like Myles Garrett, and you can throw Collins in there as well, you know, you can add extra protection, you can get rid of the ball quickly, and those are great. And another way is sometimes teams will run right at those guys and make them defend the run. So are they going to try with Stevenson to run at Myles Garrett and make him defend the run, tire him out? That way, I am interested to see kind of what their approach is in the chess match, especially early in this game when it comes to the Patriots offense versus the Browns defense.
All right, one more text, and then we'll get into the Boston sports figures as Halloween candy. Next.
781 text. If the Browns can stuff the game will be closer than most people think.
Well, John, I think that kind of feeds into what we're just saying.
We talked about it, yeah.
Yeah, it's I guess the question is, can the run game be stuffed? We've kind of seen it. Do you really want Drake May out there running around again? Like, I want to see less of Drake May running around and more consistency from the backs. I do wonder what the hangup is with around Henderson. Maybe part of it is like, hey, you're not going to just get in the game unless we see better pass protection. That could be part of it. Another part of it is, hey, they know you want to bounce to the outside, so they're trying to force you back to the inside, and therefore you get stuff. Yeah, look, we were all super excited. I think there's more time on that. But at the same time, with Gibson down, you just wonder, like, all right, how much can you expect from Henderson when you know that you need more? I think that's just the other weird thing right now. It's like, hey, we clearly need more. If Gibson's still here, as you roll in, fine. We know what Gibson provides. We know what the 1-2 punch is with him. But now with Gibson gone, we have to find out sooner than later. Only because what if Ramondre Stevenson has a couple? What if he puts the ball on the carpet a couple times in a game? Do you say we still got to stick with it, or can you really lean on Henderson to be that guy?
It's interesting because in the offseason, my prediction was that by Halloween, Henderson would have significant snaps and be a big part. And this is literally their last game before Halloween, and he hasn't done it yet. And I think part of it is, like, he was a great pass protector in college, but it doesn't feel like he's quite there at the NFL level yet. And he hasn't had a chance, really, to showcase that speed and athletic ability. Like, they haven't thrown him a ton of screens, or there haven't been a ton of routes where he's open. It just hasn't fully clicked yet. And I wonder, like, when is that going to click? Because it felt like last week, Stevenson was really good. There were open holes, and he also ran hard and got yards after contact.
Right.
But it didn't fully translate to Henderson last week either. So at what point is that going to – because this Browns defense, I mean, they're allowing 3.3 yards per carry. It's not a good one to try to have your first good game against, but I don't know. Like, at some point, that's going to click. It's taken a little longer than maybe I thought it would.
You feel like Henderson's got to be chomping at the bit to really do something tomorrow.
Especially, like you said, with Gibson out.
Well, the other part of it is his running back at Ohio State, right on the other side of the field, right? So, you know, that was the kind of the conversation was like, the two of them were just amazing last year together to host. But remember, the draft, the argument was, hey, maybe Henderson's a little bit better than Judkins, or Judkins is he's the bell cow. And so if I'm Henderson, I'm thinking, like, I want to get out there and show that the Patriots picking me was just as important as Judkins going to the Browns. Like, I want to show that I belong here just as much as this guy is their service guy. Now, granted, you know, Judkins is the only guy. Nick Chubb is going off the Texans and stuff like that. But, you know, if you're Henderson, you're like, hey, you know what? It's the same NFL, line fields that I'm playing on, that he's playing on. I should probably be out there as much. So I'll tell you what, we will move Boston sports figures as Halloween candy to next hour, because we got to get to the Celtics right after the break here. KJ in line, 617-779-7937. Thank you so much for spending your Saturday with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.